Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Hosting with me is intuitive and soon-to-be host of the Ancient Gift podcast, October Hollum. October, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yes, it's going to be a great show. Today, our guest is Donatella. Before we bring her on, a couple of announcements. First, we're officially announcing Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2022. It's going to be March 11th, 12th, and 13th with 8 badass presenters. It's going to be online with a Rockfin premium account. And that means you can get the entire conference for only $10. We have presenting this year October Hollum, Charlie Robinson, X-Cube 420, Lindsay Sharman, Adam Stokes, Micah Dank, Corey Hughes, and Nathaniel Gillis. And like I said, go check those out. We're going to be posting more about that on our website. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. And click the link in the description to sign up on Rockfin so you can get access to that badass conference. And you can always get new episodes free on Rockfin. You can get them on Odyssey and all podcast platforms. Be sure to subscribe on Rockfin. This is where you get our premium content that you can't find anywhere else. And best of all, you get all the content from every creator that's there. And definitely check out all the new podcasts that we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You get those on our website. That is, once again, forbiddenknowledge.news. And follow us on our Facebook pages. All those links are in the description. Today, we want to welcome Chris Becker, known as Donatella. She was born in Verona, Italy, and spent her young childhood years walking the same steps as Shakespeare when he wrote Romeo and Juliet. She hails from a family lineage of seers, and her mother had a gift to communicate with spirit. She grew up in a large Italian family with many rich Italian-American stories. She also was brought up in the Catholic Church and had questions she asked herself as she tried to navigate the worlds of religion, spiritual beliefs, and her awakening. After the passing of her daughter 9 years ago, her spiritual visitors were making themselves known on a daily basis, and she has since worked with an army of ascended masters and angel spirit guides to come out the other side and now is helping other people along their journey. Donatella, welcome. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Chris. And October, nice to see you both.
You as well.
I'm very blessed to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to see you. And it appears you've had an incredible journey of awakening, and you come from a family that were seers and can communicate with spirit, which is very interesting, and I want to talk about that today. I think a good place to start would be about, where did this all start for you? When did you start to have experiences with your intuitive abilities?
So, Chris, younger in Italy, I watched my mother do readings. She did quite a few of them. And I was more of an observer. You know, you're watching your mom do everything, cooking and whatever she had to do. And there was an isolated room in Verona, Italy. And she had all of the candles out, and she had all of her angels, archangels, and statues, and you still didn't really get it. You thought it was basically everything was coming from the Catholic churches there, but she went into levels where I actually would see her leave her body, you know, and just turn into this other, I would call it like another person. She would transcend. She was going into all different realms. Features changed, and it was very scary for a while, but then she would always talk about how this was a gift, a very special gift, and it would take years to develop and understand the whole. That was us little. That's when I was little. But I was very frightened and taken back by some of it. So I didn't want to tamper too much with this. And I didn't understand it, what was happening overall.
How old were you about, Chris?
Well, I was about six, seven, about six. You know, you're playing, you're a kid, and you're trying to figure a lot of things out when you're that age.
Did she ever tell you where it came from?
She said that it was part of her ancestry, these gifts, and that she would be helping people. This was actually, we spoke fluent Italian, so she would tell me in Italian what it was that she was helping everybody with. But you're still in kid mode. Mm-hmm. You're still trying to elevate and understand. And visually you're seeing things that your eyes are taking in, a person changing their features, you mm-hmm. know, and you're still very, very taken back by all of this. And she wanted everything to flow naturally. She wasn't going to put a whole bunch of, this is how this is going to work, and this is how this is going to work. She wanted us to find out naturally for our own course and our own journey and acceptance.
Right, that makes sense.
Then we moved to the United States, which was a whole different ballgame.
Now, when did you start to maybe embrace and understand these gifts as you got older?
It came back full circle later in life, and it happened exactly when my daughter passed away, which is extreme levels of devastation and grief. And the two of us died together. You mm-hmm. know, when you lose your children, you have a nanosecond to decide whether or not you can even live or breathe. But she crossed over, and in a period of 2 days, everything started happening. I could hear things. I can see things. I could, and I just went from your common everyday life prayer. And then all of a sudden I was thrown into these five different clairvoyancies. And I knew it was her. And then I even saw my mom make appearances. My grandmother, I said, I need to get someone to help me organize this, because it was insane what was happening. And you could hear you could hear audio, different people talking, whispering, you're deciphering everything on your own. So mm-hmm. I thought, well, this is what my mom's been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like your daughter's passing opened through grief. Opened up some kind of mechanism inside you where you could, you know, finally be receptive to the other right. side, which was, is like, I think you've always been tuned into that, but you kind of like muted it, you know, your sure. whole life, because you were raised Catholic and that's the way things were. And then even though you saw your mother do these things at a young age, there's still a lot to process. And if we don't understand something, we automatically as humans associate that as scary. So well, I think, you know, she gave you that gift, you know, so not only do you know she's in a better and amazing place now that you have the ability to help other people with this gift, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, it has actually, I have sought different professionals and they did organize my skills mm-hmm. and they were famous mediums. Can I mention one of them? One of them was Cher's medium. Sure. One of them was Cher's medium of 45 years. And I went to see him, James Don Frog.
The Hog, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he worked with me. And then I wasn't so fearful and I understood what was happening. But it has definitely been a gift. And it has helped quite a few people just sitting down and picking up different things. So I feel like I'm intuitive enough to where I can tell somebody what I feel and sense of that person. And I'm a small business owner. I go by my own intuition as well and seek answers internally and see if I can decipher some of my own.
And by the way, full disclosure, I worked with Chris for a while and I've seen her go to restaurants and read the wait staff to the point of like their eyes.
I forgot about that.
popping open and their mouth dropping down going, oh my God, there's just no way you could know this.
So yeah, I forgot about this. That. I forgot and, you were there.
And not that I was an unwilling participant, but let's just say I didn't like men for a very long time because I have not been treated the best by them. And Chris had said, oh, you have somebody you're already talking to that's going to come into your life. I'm like, I don't know anybody that I'm already talking to that's going to come into my life to be my boyfriend. This is like, oh my gosh, like a year ago, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that. So, but she was correct. He did come in my life.
Yes, I definitely could feel that energy going towards you, which is Chris. And I think I described them too a little bit.
Yeah.
To you.
Somebody, you said it would be somebody that is totally not my type or like I would least expect. That's, you know, that's what I remember. And I was kind of shoo-shooing it. Not that I don't think you're talented, but I thought, you know, we all go through this, like we don't like the other, you know, the other sex we're attracted to at the moment. And I went through about a year of that. So I was like, not ready to receive.
Well, I didn't want to say anything that was going to be incorrect.
Pretty accurate. So
I have to tell you, Chris, your energy was actually very, very powerful when I did feel that coming towards April, October, my apologies. And I felt that she needed to do some work in the sense that she would be ready to accept the kindness and the caring and the, you know, but you were a very elevated, I told her that you were right on with her. I mean, the things you have in common are just unbelievable. You know, y'all share such a beautiful combination of your line of work. Mm-hmm. But she's always been like this. She's always had all of this talent and no one really got her but you. You know, and I saw that energy. I was like, this gentleman right here, this guy's got it.
It's funny too with Chris because it's never like she dials in like when you want her to so much or when you expect it. It's just like, it's just random. It's like a drive-by reading. It's like, hey, oh, we're talking about a fabric. Oh yeah. And by the way, you're going to meet the love of your life in like within the next year. Be ready. It's like, what? You know, so it's kind of funny the way she works, but it's true. And I've seen her do it with, you know, like I said, wait staff at one of our favorite restaurants, Willie G's and Gals.
Oh yeah.
Give them a good plug. And
different people randomly.
And she was totally correct about the gentleman's father who was ill. I mean, just, it's incredible. So she's very talented. Yeah.
Now, thank Chris.
You. I don't like to ask questions. Hi, Chris.
Yes. Or Donatella. I'm curious, between the death of your daughter and your childhood experiences, you didn't experience any type of paranormal activity or anything that you maybe thought was out of the ordinary that you just kind of suppressed and blocked away because you didn't want to face it?
So in Europe, I saw a lot of that. It was a whole different, when we moved from Italy to Manhattan in New York, I didn't feel so much of that. I don't know if it was the transfer of one country to another, but when I was in Europe, yes, a lot of different spiritual, we'd have picnics with different spirits. But, and the paranormal was when we went to Bologna, which was the capital, there was a lot of energy there from the 15th century and a lot of debts. And you would literally see things moving around that, you know, from the churches. They weren't attached to anything, but they would just move right in front of you. And people actually thought that was a common thing. You know, millions of people were killed there and they just had all of this movement right in front of you. And you're like, did that just move from this part of the basilica to that part? And everybody was like, yeah, that's just the way it is. Plenty of paranormal. Like, you got used to it there. And when I moved and transferred, I had a lot going on. I had to learn a new language and learn a new country. So I think I was occupied with all of that. But I would tell my new friends what I would see there, and they just thought it was cute. They didn't really believe me. So I said, I'll save this for later.
Right.
But yeah, you saw quite a bit of movement in Europe.
Now, it's not just spirits that you're interacting with. You said that there's also angels. And is there any other types of entities that you're communicating with?
I do a lot of work with Archangel Michael. I love to pray to Archangel Michael and call him in for most of my serious, I need your help. And you can command your angels. He's one of my favorites. Gabriel is another one of my favorites, the archangels. Mm-hmm. And I love bringing them forward to me. And you can't see them as a person or figurine or, you know, figure, but you can feel their energy around you. So it's pretty, that's, the archangels are absolutely my norm to invest time in and just actually ask them to come forward to help with different situations.
Go ahead.
Well, I have a prayer board that I set up and I ask them to help me with different, a lot of health. I do a lot of prayers for health more and more.
Do they give you any kind of special messages or direct messages? Like,
you can decipher what they feel would be appropriate and what that person would need. So you can decipher.
Do you hear them? Does it come out like auto writing? Do you hear them?
Sometimes I do auto writing. A lot of times it's hearing what's happening. And then I tell that person, you know, I prayed over you and I called in Archangel Michael and asked him for his help and guidance and suggestions. And this is what came up. And then you do whatever you feel is best for you. But they're pretty accurate. They're very accurate because they're seeing in. They're seeing you.
So when I've seen you read raw before, I call it reading raw, where you meet somebody and you and I have a lot of the same personality. We're very gregarious, outgoing, loving, kind, you know, smile, you know, and
the list is long.
Yeah. When we meet people, we're very friendly. Just initially, that's just the way we are, you know, because we can read energy if they're receptive. And even if they're not, I know that you and I have both been friendly to people who are kind of surly. And then we've flipped them to be friendly to us because they can read our energy, right? So when you're doing like a raw reading, like when you just meet somebody and you just go, I've seen you do it, you just go. When you do that, are you hearing them talk to you or do you just
I hear a lot of guides talking to you,
or do you just say whatever is coming into your brain because you just have to get it out, like you're just saying what it is coming to your mind?
So respectfully, in the spiritual realm, I always ask questions. I have someone here, I'd like to ask you blah, 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 you know. So we had, just for an example, there was a lady that was sitting in a restaurant not too far from me. And I asked my guides, I said, I feel this energy from her. And I have some questions. She was by herself. She looked saddened. And all of a sudden I could hear, as a comeback to the question, this music real loud. It drove me really to being very frightful. It was the original version of Unchained Melody.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my guides if she was okay because she looked rather saddened. And that song came out louder and louder. I finally went up to her and I said, so I have something to share with you. And I don't know if you believe in the afterlife or you do or you don't. Would you mind if I share some things? And she said, yeah, sit down. Most people are willing to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. I said, I hear a song really loud and clear. And it's this old version of Unchained Melody. And I said, she looked at me. She had her husband.
I got goosebumps.
Died.
Oh.
He had passed away.
Oh.
And she was sad because it's been about a year. Mm. That version, that song, was the song he played. Oh. Every time they were out this restaurant club. And she said, it was just, there's no way I could guess anything.
Right.
And it was the older version. And she said, I said, I suspect he's around you now because they were able to send me this message. And she said, how is he doing? How do I keep him here? She wanted him back. She's in, you know, a year of losing someone. It's not enough time to heal, you know, but she thought that was amazing. You know, she said that she was going to sit on the other side of the restaurant and something told her to sit in my vicinity.
Mm-hmm. And I have goosebumps now. So
that happens a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
That, you know, that will happen a lot. People will just come right around me and sit down and then we'll start talking. If there's a message, I have to tell them. And see, but that list just goes on, and it is random and it is raw, but I politely ask my guides if mm-hmm. something's wrong. So I open that door first and you can tell something's wrong with somebody, and then you want some validation of, you know, what's happening here. Is there something that I can tell her or him that will help their situation? And I've had some really serious, like me crying over the information. And, you know, I was through the education of becoming a medium. They always tell you don't get emotional, but mm-hmm. there's some things.
Yeah, it's hard to not to sometimes, I know.
Oh, horrible. Yeah, yeah. There has been some readings that I gave to people that caused me to break down and cry myself. And I was like, this is too much.
It's very, very, and people don't realize too, if you do readings, whether you do it on purpose or raw, when you do them though, it is an enormous amount of energy that you are tapping into, you're letting flow through you and mm-hmm. you're releasing. So it's like, it's almost like you feel like you just ran a 5K. You're just exhausted. Yeah.
In some cases, it's been really tough. And you're trying not to intellectually decipher anything. You don't want your intellect to take over what you're actually feeling. So you train there's a lot of training in that. You really literally want to feel what's happening.
That's probably why your mother vacated and let spirit come through so she could be pure. In the way she interacted with the clients. I know you want to say something, Chris. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. True. I just wanted to ask about, maybe if you could speak to the importance of synchronicities. You talked about that song coming on, and I've had plenty of experiences with either, you know, songs on the radio, numbers, animals, things of that nature that'll show up at a very synchronistic time for a very synchronistic reason. And it'll lead you on a certain path. And this has happened to me. And maybe you could maybe speak to some of your own experiences with synchronicities and following these signs and signals that your ancestors or guides or the universe is sending you.
So I've had quite a bit of interaction where synchronicities where I'm doing something at work. I do work in the line of interior design. And I have been sent like on these buildings and historic buildings and Gilded Era mansions. And by going there, it was almost like I was led there. Mm-hmm. I found out later I was, and I would go there and there were signs and symbols that you couldn't plan. You could not plan these things. Like for instance, I was working at the Bishop's Palace in Galveston, Texas, and I was going up their stairwell, which is just something you would see out of a movie. It's a 20,000 square foot gilded 1897 mansion.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
So I was going up the stairwell, and then I saw me going down the stairwell. So, but this was really insane. My human form was going up the stairwell to do some work, and I saw me in a different form coming down the stairs at the same time, synchronicity wise. And we looked at each other. We looked at each other, and I thought, this has got to be like a different dimension or a different era. And I was given a message as we crossed each other's paths. And I was told to stay very pure and very whole. So I thought, well, what big deal? I mean, I had to run to my crew, my staff. I was just really very confused.
Mm-hmm.
That type of timing, the synchronicity, I wasn't supposed to be there that day. I was supposed to go 2 weeks later and all that. But I got this message, and that message opened up one thing after another. Stay real pure, stay real whole. What does all of this mean? It was for me to stay very concentrated on what I was doing, that I was going to help and grow more and more and more, because I was being stubborn, basically.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you astral projected almost yourself, your spiritual self astral projected, so you would take yourself seriously to be open to pursue this. Like, it's like, hey, I'm gonna slap you now. Like, yeah, okay, yes, you are here, and you're here, and we're gonna meet, and you're gonna listen to me because I know you. And that's
the
probably
timing, the synchronicity of that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, how could anything? What is going? What realm am I in? It's like, you know, what is happening here?
And but for those of the audience that don't know what the Bishop Palace is, look it up in Galveston. Didn't they bring Italian workers over to finish it, to do the mason and the or is that the movie? Oh,
yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're amazing, amazing mansions, just with incredible like architecture and work. And there's a lot of occult symbolism in those buildings too. You know, when you look at the gargoyles and the symbols that are in the work and stuff. Yeah.
I was blessed enough and honored enough to put the fabric back on the walls of the Bishop's Palace. So that was a beautiful project.
I know, but you did the Alyssa. Alyssa is a ship from, it's the only steel sailing boat in the world, I think. And it's in the Galveston Harbor. It's from the 19th century. And I know you did the captain's quarters. Did you have any, and that's supposed to be haunted. Did you have any experience in that?
We had a few episodes, I call them, the captain's quarters and the deck hands. I made some covers that replicate, you know, that era, a lot of ticking on the mattresses and stuff. And then when I got to the captain's quarters, you could hear a lot of humming. So the ship was not on. There was a lot of humming, a lot of, I wouldn't say it was a song or anything, but you could hear it. And
did anybody else hear it that was with you? Because I know sometimes you have helpers.
My crew and my staff had other experiences. Mm. They had some other experiences. One of them said that they were patted on the head, like, like good, we're happy you're here, patted on the head, which nobody likes me patted on the head like a child.
Did they freak out?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can look and you can hum, but don't touch.
I said, well, I would imagine that's a nice greeting. And he said,
yeah, it wasn't a shove off the deck. It was a pat on the head. So.
Right. Yeah. And there was a lot of visual situations where we saw a stairwell going up to the second level of the listenership, and then we didn't see the stairwell anymore. So that was odd. We thought for sure there was this narrow passageway. And I was telling everybody to bring their equipment to the lower deck and go up to the second. And we went back over there. There was no stairs. And I was like, the stairs were here. I know they were. I'm a designer.
So weird that you had to be.
We were getting like they were playing tricks on whatever was there was playing tricks on us.
What do you think, Chris?
That is very interesting. I mean, I've never heard of maybe, you know, things that extreme occurring, but, you know.
Phantom staircases appearing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was weird because we were like getting our tools ready to take that stairwell.
That is bizarre.
I thought maybe that was some paranormal move.
Oh, for sure.
And the guys were like, okay, so did we go on? We didn't go anywhere. We were like,
and it's a small ship. So people are saying, well, it's a huge, you know, sailboat. So maybe it's big that it's a sailboat, but it's not a big space. I've been in it. I did a tour on the Lissa a couple years ago. And I'll tell you, you walk, it was a hot. Now, if you don't know Galveston, Texas heat, I'm talking, it was July. It had to be 105 outside. The humidity was, it was disgusting hot. And when you go like through, like down, like it's even hotter because that heat just stays and stagnates.
Yeah.
I walked into the captain's quarters, like, because you can walk in and they have like a rope tied around and you go in and it's tiny little quarters. It was freezing in there.
Yeah.
Freezing. Yeah. And I was like,
oh yeah.
I look around and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Like, I've seen enough.
Did you see the pretty tufting?
I didn't know you did it at the time, but I'm like, I'm done. I know you're here and I'm going to totally respect your space and I'm out. And I left, but yeah, it was crazy.
But yeah. Chris, getting back to one of your questions, I felt like several of the Gilded Era mansions I worked in, I was actually brought to. And it was really, it had to have been because they had so many other people that had applied for the job. But once I got there, it felt like, you know, hey, this is my space. They were happy. Whatever entities were there were happy I was there. It was like I saw a lot of different entities around. You don't see figures. You see just energy. You know, and I felt like I'm back home. I'm here, you know, and I was welcomed. Like, it's really like family. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh my goodness, my family's been living here for
hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really they were cool. Happy I was there. I got this feeling like my family was happy to see me. So it's an odd way of explaining it, but
it makes sense.
Now
it made me feel like they did bring me there. They brought me there, and the other applicants did not get the job. It's like that's because that's my home.
Yeah. That's really cool. Now, there's other intuitives and, you know, self-proclaimed psychics that I personally know and speak to that seem to have issues with malevolent spirits trying to come through to them. They know they have this ability and they're trying to come through and either trick them or get them to do things, but they can tell by the energy that this is a malevolent spirit. And you know, it's only the ones that really work with spirit on a regular basis and have this strong connection that really have the problem with this. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
I don't think I've had anything actually be pushy, a malevolent spirit be really pushy to where I don't know if people do different prayers of protection. One of the things I don't do is that I feel like I'm strong enough and powerful enough to handle what comes across me. And if they keep on and keep on, I know how to shut the door. But I'd imagine that could be pretty scary as well, especially if you don't want them there. And maybe they are an evil entity. Maybe, are they evil? Are they, did they tell you, Chris, if they're evil by any chance? Or
well, I'll give you one example. One of my friends, he's a medium and he's been doing this for a while. He says that he can tell by the energy that they're putting off that they don't have good intention, that they're a lower vibrational entity is what he would call it. And usually, right, you know, by those feelings, they don't have the best intentions for humans.
Right. Well, yes. I think most of those energies that exist, I don't think their messages are always really in our favor. They can be a little dangerous and proceed with caution for sure. But that I have a different approach, and I don't feel a lot of fear around them. And I know they can be hostility in that energy, but there's a whole different, I feel like I have walk around with this, like a little shield of protection, not much, because I think that if they're that negative, I would probably have a chat. It's just like, let's move you along. We're going to move you along. Definitely. But they have to be careful. If he's a professional medium, he needs to be really careful about.
I have encountered, I know you and I have talked about this before, but I've encountered objects that have had negative energy attached to them.
Yes.
In my life. Objects, furniture, because I love antiques, I don't, you know, and vintage stuff. So I bought and sold a lot of stuff through my life. So there have been some things that I have literally like destroyed forever, because they just shouldn't be in anybody's home. So have you ever had an experience dealing, because you do, you are known for antique pieces and revitalizing them and amazing work that way. But have you ever encountered a piece that has had a negative impact on your shop or your people or, you know,
yes,
things? And so more than once in your, there was like 35
years. So I work on family heirlooms.
Mm-hmm.
So we have pieces sometimes flown in from Scotland. And Scotland had a lot of chairs that were very Renaissance. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen the chairs with the
lion and all that.
Lion mm-hmm. heads, and they were in pieces, and we'd have to glue them together. We've had pieces. I want to say most of them came from overseas, England. And they were stored for many years, and then they come over to the shop, and they were left in these buildings for quite some time, and they had deceased relatives that used them. We had a cording sofa, what's called a cording sofa, that came in from the 1850s, and that was brutal. I mean, you couldn't really get around it. It's almost like it did not want you to work on it at all. So a cording sofa, for people to know, back in the day, you would have your fiance or your person you were getting ready to marry.
Intended, yep.
Then the mother would sit, the family members would sit with that person. Or you sat on one side, and your daughter sat on the other side. And what is your intention with my child? You know, you had to sit on this settee and this, but we've had a few of them that you could get moved, like just physically pushed out of the way.
Interesting.
Which was very, very strange. Now, I have an area of the shop, because we do know about all of this. A lot of people that work with me are very sensitive. And we have what I say is best for us. Everybody's different. I like to bless things. I don't want to chase things off. I don't want to go up to it and say, be gone, and mm-hmm. sage it and remove it. And I just want to bless that piece for everything that it has gone through and everything that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what happens from that point, you know. And blessings are a whole different ball game for me.
In clearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, personally, because the clearing.
I have a clearing, but it's more of a respectful
right.
Prayer group we have. We notice that, you know, something is going on, and I don't want to go up to something that may have energy from 200-300 years ago and act like I'm really that much more powerful than that.
Well, it's a respect thing, right? And also, if anybody is in this line of work and you are faced with a home, a piece of furniture, whatever, or a business, let's say, and it is, let's just say, occupied, and you don't know really the degree, even if you're gifted medium and everything, you can pick up on whether, and I don't want to say good or bad, right? There just is. And so it could be a lot of negative energy stored up in that place or that item for many, many years. And it could be sorrow. It could be, you know, it could be love. It could be all these sorts of things. And right. Even if you feel it's like somewhat negative or whatever, you could really just tick it off. Like if you just go in there like, Sage, be gone, you know, like you have to know what you're doing. So it's not like,
you have to,
somebody says, oh, just go sage it. It's like, no. It's so much more complex than just go sage.
I'm a very, I like to be very approachable. That's the way I handle everything. Even in a human form, I like to really just go up to somebody or something, and just be very respectful of what is happening. I know better. Not to be this, I've been in this realm and I can handle you and all your energy. And I don't like that approach.
Because it's basically myself. What we're talking about, right? We're talking about energy, whether it's residual, whether it's complacent, whether it's active, whether it's malevolent.
I don't know.
It's energy. It's all energy. And how we choose to interact with this energy really is upon our own choice to do that.
It's your own choice.
And how we approach it.
I had furniture come in from a local medium. And she's been a medium for 45 years. And she brought us all this furniture, antiques, that came down from her relatives. And lo and behold, she had some really fierce, I mean, just think, she's doing readings her whole lot, 45 years. And she's sat on this furniture and there was so much going on. I asked her to get saged and have her, when is the last time, you know, we need to be cleared too.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
And blessed. And because of everything we're encountering. And she said, I don't think I ever thought about that. That's impossible. You're working with hundreds of people a month. Surely you have, because your furniture is just, it was beyond comprehension what was happening with
that's the price her of the
items, you know, and she was very receptive to what we were talking to her about. And furniture, when I say it's got problems or whatever is going on with it, you can't go near it. You will feel odd. You'll feel odd. I've had scissors that were 14 inch shears, and those things went flying. I mean, and they're big handles.
Mm-hmm.
And if something is throwing that out of my hand, I'm like, hey, I'm good. I'm good. It's a fort. In fact, I have this here. And I was like, wow, was that? I am not going near this. I'm not. And our shears are rather sharp.
Yeah.
I thought if that poltergeist can throw that at him, you know, and I have people working with me. And I was like, that was unbelievable. I'm mm-hmm. not going near that piece. Somebody else has to step in. we go around it and we bless it.
Yeah.
We bless it. Let's play nice here. Don't throw the shears around
the shop. Chris, did you have
anything? Yeah, I want to ask you, beyond just intelligent energy, what are your thoughts on non-human entities beyond the spectrum of our vision, the possibility of life everywhere that we can't perceive. Intelligent life, not only, you know, spirits or ghosts, but other things that you wouldn't even consider humans that could interact with us, you know, fairies, Bigfoot, interdimensional entities, aliens, whatever you want to call them. What are your thoughts on these? Do you believe in these things?
Well, I believe that they exist. Absolutely. There's so many different forms of possibly aliens. I absolutely believe in that. There has to be. I mean, it's impossible to just be this human form. But I've had a couple of experiences with seeing from going fishing out on a pier and seeing some ships come in, and we all witnessed something coming out of light, and it was a whole different kind of a stretch looking item. And I said, well, I don't know if those are my people or not, but I sure do believe that they're in existence. And then you don't see them anymore. I don't know how to tap into anything like that. But I most certainly believe they exist. I've had very little experiences seeing them one-on-one, but we did see them on the fishing pier more than 10 people. So I was happy about that. I really was. I was like, I don't know how to get to know this, but
I do have a question for you. Since your daughter's passing and you've been embracing this part of yourself, it's innate gift that's passed down, it seems like, through your family lineage, and you've suffered many hardships in your life, and you know, the losing a child, I can't even imagine. I don't ever want to imagine that. Do you feel like now that you, I hate to say this for lack of a better term, like own these special qualities that you have and these gifts, do you feel like you have a specialty, or that your gift is shifting like in direction, like where you're like, maybe you thought at first, this is what you kind of wanted to do with it or where you started, but now you've shifted and you feel like I'm going in a different direction. I feel that I need to, you know, fill in the blank, help people, heal people. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel like you have a more of a specialty now?
I think that I got to a point and level of acceptance. So I'm accepting what I can do. And my hope and aspirations are to continue to be of service to people that could use this extra information. You have knowledgeable people around you all the time. So the acceptance part was the part that was the hardest for me, because it's almost like having a very serious purpose in life. It is a purpose. And a lot of times you have these gifts, but you don't accept them. You just go, well, mm-hmm. whatever happens, happens. And then you just go along with your natural course of life and your journeys and your ideas and your dreams. But a lot of that is very fictitious in a lot of ways. And you get caught up in a lot of fantasy on this planet. But the real spiritual realm that you are seeing and feel and are helping people, that really is an eye opener. And you have to say, I really accept this responsibility. It's like a responsibility, because I really random. If I told you the last 5 readings I did, it really helped and impacted these people. So I am in acceptance, total acceptance of what.
It's like you lived in a reality that was contrived for you by your religion, family, society, mm-hmm. culture, you know, all these things. And then you, I hate this overused term, but you awaken, you know, you embrace, sure. and then you accept. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like all of that stuff was like the soil, the seed, the sun, that were all different parts of the universe at that one time. But then when you accept, the seed gets planted, this rich soil goes over it, the sun comes in, the rain comes, and you sprout. And when you sprout, you just bloom and you grow. And it's just, it's like, there's no, words to, it's like the most freeing feeling, right? Like it's just, you're just free because like you understand so much more than you ever did understand before, because you're open to receive and also to give. And I think, I don't know, for me at least, that's kind of how it's been. I don't know about you, if that's a great.
I like the way you described all of that. Another thing that I noticed since I've been blessed with this is I don't feel fear anymore. It's very rare I worry, and I don't feel this fear of anything on this planet. It's like very different in the last few years. I think that just the ability to be able to tap into a stronger power or creator makes you feel like you really don't have much to worry about. There really isn't that much to worry about. We've created all of these worries, and this is what I've been feeling. Just no fear. You know, whatever's going on the planet right now, and how everybody is in this psychosis, I would say.
Yeah.
And I don't have any fear of what's happening. And I think because my guides are so strong and I feel very strong, that it's a very wonderful feeling. It's like, who walks around fearless? You know,
I think there's a difference between being careless and fearless. Fearless and careless are two separate things, but I understand what you're saying. It's like, and this has taken me a long time. And Chris reminds me of this all the time. He's like, you know, you choose the reality that you live in. So if you want to live reality of like fear, because I have eradicated that out of my vocabulary, but yeah, I have concerns sometimes. You can live in that reality, or you can live in the reality of like, I choose not to participate in what's been created for me. I choose to participate in the world that I'm actually living in and be happy, because let's face it, happiness is a choice. So it's like, I think we're all given free will, and how we choose to wield that is really dependent upon our acceptance of who we are, where we are, and where we want to go. And if you can get to that point, then fear drops away, and all these negative emotions with it go away. And then you just kind of, like I said before, like you become the seed, you become this beautiful flower or whatever tree, and you get nourishment from everything around you, and the world is endless possibilities. And that's kind of like, I know you and I've had spiritual discussions before, but that's kind of like where I find myself now. And I find that instead of being fearful of like the reality that we're in, other people's perception of reality, I see nothing but wide open spaces, baby, like happiness, positivity. And I will not dive down into that pool.
Happiness is definitely that goes into so much, but my happiness is to live peaceful and no fear. So now I'm starting to feel that, you know, that this is a greater avenue instead of worrying about everybody else's things, you know. And a lot of times these readings, they help me as well. You know, I'm not just helping them. They're actually helping me. In the sense that, not ego-wise, by no means. The ego doesn't exist when you're trying to be of service to someone else. But it helps me in the sense that actually seeing a person lift up, you can see their features and everything change when you target exactly what they've been dwelling on for so many years, or the pain that they've been in. And then you're like, I actually contributed to this. This contribution is a tremendous happiness.
It's a gift.
Just the contribution to being able to see this person just wake up. I had an incident where this client was, she carried something for a good 25 years, and her cousin was killed in a tragedy. But her cousin's name, and I am able to repeat her reading because they give me permission to do that. Her cousin was Prima Hermana, was her name, her nickname. In Spanish, Prima is cousin and Hermana is sister. So she called this particular woman Prima Hermana. So she was in Mexico, and you may have heard of this tragedy. Certain gangs locked up the whole nightclub and set people on fire inside the,
oh my God,
the nightclub, and her Prima Hermana was in there. So number one, you can't guess that name, first and foremost. And luckily I know how to speak Spanish, so it just rolled right off my tongue.
Yeah, she speaks three languages, by the way, so.
English is the worst for me, Chris.
Well, if this is the worst for you, you're doing pretty darn good.
So. I have a hard time saying what I want to say, but so I was smelling burnt wood, and it was the building that, and she held on to this for just 30 something years. She didn't go. And I said, then your children would have lost you. I mean, you're a mother of four. Had you gone that night, you as well would have been perished. This was a very evil thing that happened. They barricaded the front doors, the side windows, and the back door, and all those people perished, and they lit them. Can you imagine? And I picked up on all of that and was able to, my happiness went right through the roof, because I was able to share that with her, and she was able to let it go. She went from me to another professional and just released it. She went to Reiki master.
So you got closure. You gave her closure. You helped her. Yeah. That's a great story.
Well, I opened up that can of worms that was suppressed for so many years, and so much unhappiness, you know. And then as soon as I saw her open up, like, just wow, somebody that doesn't even know me pulled this out of me. This is intentional from our creator. That doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where my happiness is. You can't just make these things happen. I'm weird, you know.
Yeah. Have you noticed more of a general open-mindedness in people since your abilities, you first came into them and started applying them? Do you see that people are now maybe a little bit more accepting and more open-minded to this type of experience and phenomenon?
Oh, yes. Yes. More and more people are very aware of wanting to experience this, wanting to talk to professional mediums, or absolutely. In the last 10 years, I've seen quite a bit where no one is actually apprehensive when you go up to them. They just, I think that they'll say, oh, my husband doesn't believe in that, or blame it on somebody else. You know, I never really got a reading because so-and-so doesn't believe in that. But that's dissipated, and it's really more accepting. And you should see how I operate. You should walk around with me sometimes. It is really random.
It's quite entertaining, actually.
I go, excuse me.
I'm like, bartender, I'll take another drink. She's going to be here for a little while. Great. I'll have another cocktail. Oh,
man. Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to do it. Now, could you tell us maybe a bit about some of your most, you know, profound, I guess you could say, success stories when it comes to helping people? I know you told us a couple, but I think that's a good way to close out. Maybe tell us a couple of good stories.
So this one I had just shared with you, that was really very profound to me, because I literally could smell burning wood, firewood. So that was the strongest sense of smell, clairsentient, and I was definitely overwhelmed by that. And I did some readings recently that were very, I was taken back. I want to say, unfortunately, had to do with crime and abuse, but it was geared where they were able to zero in on some, I don't want to get into too many details, but it was the first time that I had actually got involved in something that had to do with the police. So this young, I'm going to make the shorter version of it. This client, her younger sister ran away in the family unit. She took off and they couldn't find her at all. I mean, they really, the whole family was very devastated. And I was not equipped for some of that, but it turned out that I was able to figure out where she was. So that really kind of blew my mind a little bit too, because they found her right in the vicinity I said she was at.
It's called remote viewing.
What's that?
It's called remote viewing. You remote viewed. You know what that is?
What's your version of it?
It's my version is how I do it is I close my eyes and I tap into that energy, whether it's an animal or a person. And I gain their senses, their sense of hearing, smell, touch, sight.
Yeah, she
speak in anything that they can sense, it comes to me, and then I can describe it, like a street sign, a body of water, you know, people around them, the smells, mm-hmm. You know, things like that, sounds, you know, is it the country? Is it a busy street? Is it a train out in the distance? Stuff like that. That's called remote.
She brought in a couple of items of the sister, and I kept getting these excruciating headaches, and I never have headaches. Like, that's not even part of my makeup on, you know, health wise. And I said, does she have migraine? Does she get migraines? And they were like, yes. I said, she's got them so bad. She's in the hospital. And that's where she was literally at. She went to the hospital for the migraine. They were so excruciating. I suspect she tried to get further away, but that kicked in and brought her to the hospital, which was like right down the road from them.
Crazy.
So they went on this crazy manhunt looking for her. I mean, just insane. And just that little piece, it just blew my mind. So, Chris, I felt the pain from a migraine. And like I said, I can't even tell you when I had a headache. And migraines are brutal. They are brutal. So to feel that and just to tell the family, this is what I feel like she's so ill, she's in the hospital. And she had gone right down the road. And the money they spent looking for her, and they called hospitals, they called the police, but she went in just like right in that rim, right in that wire. And they found her right there. And I didn't know you could go to the hospital that ill from migraines, but apparently she was vomiting.
Oh, yeah.
So it was pretty bad, but something like that was very profound to me. And I thought, if I can feel these things, smell these things, hear these things, I need to be very blessed and happy to be able to do
help
that.
Help people. Absolutely.
Yeah. And not be afraid of it, but be happy. I feel the happiness from that. When they found her, I was, wow, you know. I mean, they wanted to come down here to visit with me because they went through the motions. You know, everybody has their own, let me call the police, let me do this, let me do that. So, and I'll tell you how she found me. She went down the pipeline. She went down the pipeline calling one friend, another friend, another friend, another friend. And everybody was like,
I don't know. Call a Chris.
I don't know. Chris. Hey, Chris, that might work for you too.
Which will segue, and how do people get a hold of you? Are you doing readings for people now? Like, are you open to
I do readings at the holistic shop. There's a holistic shop here, and I have a little area that I'll have my guests come over, and they can get a hold of me through Gmail. Sure. I do have to say, I don't actually want electronics in between me and reading. So I like to meet with people in person. So I had a lady from Oklahoma that I just read maybe 2 weeks ago. She came down. Galveston's a very tourist area. So this person I met was in a holistic shop, and she came back to do the reading.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, would you like to give the audience your email if they'd like to get a reading from you?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I would love that. Chris, thank you for that invite. Sure. It is DonatellaArts@gmail.com. And Donatella, shall I spell it? Or do you want them to try to figure it out?
Spell it, yeah.
So it is DonatellaArts@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Donatella. That's my middle name. I wish I was part of the Versace family, but I'll take the Donatella name anyway.
Awesome. Well, April, did you have any other questions or comments before we close out today?
No, I mean, I got to ask her kind of everything I had written down, so I'm happy about that.
You're extraordinaire. Extraordinaire.
Hang on to the call. Don't hang up when he signs off. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Chris, all right, guys. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yes, that I don't was know excellent.
How to... Well, I appreciate you very much. And I do have a reading for you, by the way.
Oh, well, I'll be looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much.
We'll FaceTime.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I'm sure the audience really appreciates this. I'd love to talk with you again in the future. So we'll definitely set something up. And until next time, everyone have an excellent evening, and we will talk again tomorrow.